Community Matters. Solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Hey, it's Megan from The Morning Show on your encouraging WPER, here with another edition of Community Matters. Got a couple interviews lined up for you. The first one is with Gifts from Angels, and I'm so excited to introduce Jeffrey and Kristen Sterner to you for them to tell you all about Gifts from Angels, which is their nonprofit ministry that they started from the ground up. All right, we have Jeffrey and Kristen Sterner with Gifts from Angels with us. Jeffrey and Kristen, how are you doing today?
We're doing great. How are you?
Doing great. So good. And I'm so excited to have a chance to talk with you, because once I heard about Gifts from Angels, and I heard from a colleague in my office, and so I really was just so excited to find out more. So could you tell us a little bit about what Gifts from Angels actually is?
So what Gifts from Angels actually is we work for, we're all about giving back to the community and helping others. So what we do is we have partnered with Mary Washington Pediatrics, and every Easter and every Christmas, we go around and we do donations, and we gather toys for and the Easter baskets from local restaurants and like I call them mom and pop stores. so we work together very close with some of the mom and pop stores. Mm-hmm. And what they do is then we gather everything in, and we go into the hospital and we bring cheer to not just the kids there too as well, mm-hmm. but we also give cheer to the pediatric unit themselves.
We love to give back
because it's a very touching area that has touched our heart, mm-hmm. since my daughter was 5 years old.
So really then, when we talk about like what community does Gifts from Angels serve, you're talking about like the pediatric department at the hospital. You're talking about the kids who are in the hospital. Is that accurate?
Yes. And we also are there for families. We adopt a family every Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we try to be there for devastations throughout the year is what we're trying to do. We're trying to work together with other local organizations and build up so that way we can, if there's a devastation, kids get food and clothes first. They need a toy. They need something to stimulate themselves. And that's where we come in. We try to help with the toys. We try to help be there. We try to help work with our local stores and organizations to give the family gift cards.
Beautiful. Now, you mentioned that this is something that's been on your heart since your daughter was 5 years old. So can I ask you, what was the impetus that made you want to start to do something to give back?
So when my daughter was 5 years old, she got very sick. We were very worried about her. It was like 4 or 5 days. She was really sick. She was diagnosed with what they call the rotavirus. And at that time, we lived in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And she was very heartbroken because they told her she was going to be in after Easter. And all she wanted was the Easter bunny. I want the bunny to come see me. I want the bunny to come see me. Well, she never saw anything. They had a clown, and that was it. And she was just so depressed and so upset. So finally, the day before Easter, she was allowed to go home. Mm. And just for her to be home was all she wanted. And then she saw the Easter bunny come, and that was like her face lit up. So that's what we do. We now want to do the same thing to bring cheer to kids, mm-hmm. in the area, as well as devastation, the hospital, because if they are sick and they have cancer or they have anything, we want to try to be there for the family and maybe bring some cheer to these children who can't go and see the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus. We kind of bring our special guests to them.
I love it. Now, what area are you working in? Is it specific hospitals, or do you try to like branch out as far as possible?
Well, right now we are working with Mary Washington Hospital and the Fredericksburg Main Hospital. We're hoping one day to possibly branch out, but it's basically right now the Fredericksburg, Spotsylvania region. If for some reason I do manage to branch out one day, everything in Culpeper will go back to Culpeper. Everything in Charlottesville will go back to Charlottesville. We want to keep it within the region it's coming from.
Beautiful. Now, I know that we had talked a little bit before the interview, and that you've had your 501c3 for, I believe in September is what you said. So can I ask, how is the funding for this happening? Like, are you accepting donations from the community? Are you guys funding all of this yourself?
We're 100% funded from the community, and we give 100% back.
Beautiful. How do those funds come in? Or is it like fundraisers that you do? Do you just do marketing campaigns? Or I guess, how are you reaching the community so that they even know to be able to give and support?
Right now, we have a Facebook page. We're constantly posting on different things that we're doing. Right now, we're doing a Little Caesars fundraiser. If you go onto our Facebook page, Gifts from Angels, we have a link on there that you can click and you can buy pizzas on it. And so much of the proceeds go back to us. We also go to different fairs. We were just at a Jump in the June festival, and we're going to be at one in July, a Christmas festival at Riverton Farms.
That's awesome. So there's definitely ways then that the community can interact with Gifts from Angels and find out more. Are there ways other than financial support that the community can get involved in what you do?
So what we do is we have a drop-off area right now. It's called Mail and Go off of Gordon Road here in Fredericksburg. They can drop off all year round. We have a deal with the owner of it. He has a box there at all times, so if anybody wants to drop anything off, they can go there. We're going to Christmas time, we have our special guest Santa, who sometimes shows up at our house when he can do it in between. And then we are going to allow this year families to take as many pictures as they want. And it's going to be all over Facebook on our Facebook page, Gifts from Angels, when that time comes. Every time we have a new thing coming up, how they can help, it's all there. It is right there that, you know, we'll put up our address once we have our Christmas stuff going. And Santa shows up the day that he can come. And then what we do is we ask for one new unwrapped toy per child, and they can take 50 pictures if they like.
I love it.
And then what we do is, like, we're going to be starting on back to school as well, and we're working with a couple local restaurants. And once that comes into effect, that goes on our Facebook page as well. And we reach everybody, and we want to do a back-to-school event because we know a lot of people are hurting. And elementary and middle schools especially, those children need book bags and all the supplies, and it's very expensive.
So I want to go back to the drop-off section just for a little bit, because I know you mentioned it was at Mail and Go on Gordon Road. What items are you hoping like to find? Is it gift cards? Is it toys or supplies, anything like that?
It's everything, anything that they can donate. We are not picky with everything. The only thing is the hospital has to be brand new items, whereas the other stuff, if we get stuff donated to us and there's a devastation, a fire, whatever, if people donate new, you know, clothes or everything that's like new, we take that and then we give it to the family.
So you're not even just collecting stuff for kids then, you're also collecting things for adults as well for those other situations.
When we have the devastations, and then we take it and we put it together. Like, I'll have a box, like, we separate stuff, men's, women's, kids, infants, and then when something happens, then we know what we can gather from.
Beautiful. So just to reiterate, new items only, those will go to hospitals, kids in the hospitals, families in the hospitals, but anything that might be gently used or also new, depending on how much you have, could go to families in other situations who might be in need.
That's correct.
Beautiful. I wanted to ask just about plans for future growth, because I know that right now you do visits to the hospital, you help families who might be in need for various situations. How are you hoping that Gifts from Angels will grow over the next several years?
One, my ultimate goal would be is to grow within, at least right now, the eastern end, meaning like Culpeper, Charlottesville, that area. I would love to see. And like I reiterated earlier, it would grow. I'm keeping everything within the community it's coming from. At that point, I will be reaching out to businesses in Culpeper, let's say, and everything that we get from Culpeper will go directly back to Culpeper.
Love it.
Whereas everything I get from Fredericksburg, Spotsylvania, will directly go back to Fredericksburg, Spotsylvania.
Right now, is it just the two of you doing everything from Gifts from Angels?
Right now, it's basically my wife and I, and we have two children, 18 and 20.
Have you, will you be taking any volunteers in the future? Is that something that you've looked into possibly opening up to?
It is something we've looked up to. We're waiting till we get just a little bit bigger.
Sure.
If we have big fairs that we may need them for, then we'll ask for them. Watch our Facebook page, because I had a post out there to help over the last festival. Whenever we need volunteers or what it sorts, it'll be on Facebook.
So in all of the things that you guys have done since you started Gifts from Angels, are there any stories that you can share that sort of stick out in terms of the impact that Gifts from Angels has had that you can share?
I can tell you one that has come off the top of my head. Last year we went into a hospital with a special guest, and he gave a little girl a doll. And later on in the day, we got a message from the nurse, and that's all the girl wanted to play with.
Oh.
And it made her day, just that little dolly.
It's amazing how simple things like that, that, you know, when you're not in that situation, you might take for granted. But then when you get to see the impact that it can have, just a simple thing like that, that's got to be heartwarming for you too.
It really is. And when you experience things like that, that's when you know it makes it all worth it.
Once you decided that you wanted to do something to give back, what was the process like just to get Gifts from Angels started?
The biggest headache was to get the 501 approved.
Mm-hmm.
Once we got the 501, then we just rolled with it from there.
If there was one thing that you wanted people to walk away with knowing about Gifts from Angels, what would that be?
So one thing just to let everybody know is that the payback we get is just seeing the kids' smiles.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we did last year, we had our special guest Santa come with us, and we actually visited 3 homes. So they didn't have to go take a newborn out or special needs children out to see Santa, and Santa came to them. And to see the looks on these children's faces, it was enough that got you tearing. Because one wouldn't even stop hugging Santa. He was so happy. And the mother was so touched. We told them, take as many pictures as you want. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have pictures at every event that we're at. We take pictures, and there are pictures there that you can see what has happened from the growth of the very first year where we did a test run in 2020, because 2020 was the worst year with COVID. And we did a test run for Mary Washington Hospital. My husband reached out, found a contact. They agreed to work with us and see how this works, see if the test run works. We went out, and Mary Washington Pediatrics told us every year they have to turn people away for donations. That year in 2020, not one person came for donations. We showed up with a van full of toys, and we gave them toys, and they didn't even know what to say.
Oh, wow.
They were so shocked, and it was like between that and the Santa visiting the houses was what made the day, because it's getting very expensive out there, and a lot of kids, you want to be kind of near Santa to have that experience, especially when the kids are young. And that's what we gave them. We gave them actually Santa.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Talk to me about your kids getting involved in Gifts from Angels. What's it like for them? You mentioned their ages, but what's it like for them to be able to be involved in something like this and giving back?
We raise our children to be grateful for what they have. And when we started this, we sat down with them and said, we start this, you guys are going to be involved with us, right? And they both 100% said yes. They like the kids. They like being there for people. My son, he's a go-getter. My daughter is a go-getter as well. She loves kids. So it makes it worth it for her. And I mean, just going in there, and then especially going into the hospital, and you see a family of 4 coming in with a special guest, and the kids are helping, really brightens everybody's day. And they were so thrilled doing this. So they flag it up all the time. They tell their friends, they tell families,
mm-hmm.
people they meet, and it gets the word out.
I love it. I bet as parents, for you, it's kind of a double blessing, because you're not only giving back to these families and being able to bring a smile to them, but you get to see your kids doing this just awesome service for others.
Yes, it is, very much.
Awesome. And what does it feel like just for both of you? You had this dream, you had this mission years ago that you wanted to give back. What does it feel like now to know that you've achieved what you set out to do?
It feels very good and very rewarding. It was a long time coming. It is something I've wanted to do for years, since my daughter got sick when she was 5. And it feels so good to be able to achieve this possible.
I love it. Beautiful. Now, for anyone listening right now who wants to get in touch with you guys, find out more about what you do, maybe see how they can get involved, either through donations financially or donations of goods, what are the different ways that they can find you and reach you?
that you can reach us through, definitely through Facebook. Send us a private message. We answer within 24 to 48 hours. It's usually in the average of 24 hours is what we do now. Mm-hmm. We do have a phone number that they can call or text at, which is also listed on the Gifts from Angels page. And then we also have an email. And we just did an event last weekend, and we have already created some relationships and friendships with some what I call mom and pop stores, mm-hmm. that people are creating their own business. So what we do is we're not just helping ourselves and helping our community. We're bringing the community together with us, and we're reaching out to them. And we have a company right now that's an event company that has invited us to be at every one of their events. And we created a very close relationship with them, and they're helping us as well.
Beautiful. And then just to confirm, the Facebook page you're directing people to, it is Gifts from Angels?
Yes.
Correct.
Excellent. Well, Jeffrey and Kristen, thank you so much. I don't have any further questions. I am so excited to see just the work that you guys do and see how much more you grow in the future. Before I let you go, is there anything else that you wanted to say?
Not off the top of my head.
No, we really appreciate you doing this for us and helping us get our name out. And it's very touching because this has been 13 years coming.
A lot of hard work went into it, I'm sure. But look at now, the fruits of your labor.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much. And just know that the entire WPER family will be keeping Gifts from Angels in prayer.
Thank you so much.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
For our next interview, we are speaking with Rodney Harrell, PhD, AARP Vice President, Family, Home, and Community. He'll be talking specifically about AARP's livability index scores for 2022, which goes over, you know, how livable is your hometown, you know, kind of where our areas, our communities rank within the livability index. So without further ado, here is the interview with Rodney Harrell. Rodney, I'm so grateful to have a chance to talk with you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I wanted to ask you, just in terms of this livability index, I'm curious, really, just about, I mean, our index. Can you first tell me, what is the livability index from AARP, and why was it created?
Happy to. So AARP's livability index is an online tool that scores every neighborhood and community across the country, in all 50 states, on the services and amenities that improve people's lives the most. We know from AARP's research that most people want to stay in their homes and communities as they age, but there are barriers and limitations that prevent them from doing that. If they don't have walkable neighborhoods or public transportation options or opportunities to engage affordable, adaptable housing, you know, these are things that might prevent you from being able to stay in the community or continue the quality of life that you'd like. And so we created this livability index several years ago with the idea of creating a measuring stick across the country, mm-hmm. so that people can have a shortcut to know whether or not their community works for people of all ages, incomes, or physical ability.
Awesome. I think it's so great that you're doing this research. So, of course, my next natural question is, how do we measure up? Our station is based in Fredericksburg, but we also cover the Richmond area. Any insights that you can give us?
Well, sure. First, Fredericksburg has a 58 overall, and Richmond scores a 52. Now, those scores are on a scale of 0 to 100, so they're both above average. But if you're comparing and competing, Fredericksburg wins out a little bit more there. And the index score itself summarizes those seven categories and 40 different metrics. And so the idea is that in Fredericksburg, for example, there's more subsidized housing, multifamily housing option for people that might need more affordable choices. There's more homes with zero-step entrances, more opportunity for civic, social, and religious engagement than the national average. And the challenges there are less public transportation services that might help you get to social activities, jobs, and medical care. So there's things to be proud of, and also one or more things that can be worked on. Mm-hmm. No community is perfect, and every community has things that can be improved.
I'm curious, just thinking nationwide, could you point maybe to some of those that are scoring higher, the closer to 100? Is there anyone that scores a perfect 100?
So no neighborhood or community has scored a perfect 100 mm-hmm. on the index. And it's because of the trade-offs that are inherent in communities. The idea that we may have the greatest parks and libraries and safest streets and all these options on one side, but if our housing is very expensive on the other side, those things tend to cancel each other out, and that's mm-hmm. what our index strives to show. And so that's why you see those scores, the average score about 50, and very rarely the scores get in the top 60 or low 70s. And We have top 10 lists on our website for communities by various sizes. Mm-hmm. And again, those top scores will be in the high 60s or low 70s, depending on the size of your community.
Gotcha. Perfect. Thank you for painting that picture. So with this data, then I would imagine that we could actually take this and make some decisions in terms of how we can improve the areas that are of challenges to us. So could you kind of unpack that a little bit? How can we use this data to better our community?
That's absolutely how I hope it's used, not only to help people when they're trying to make a location decision and have a little sneak preview of some of the stats for yourself, but as you point out, we can use the information in the index to help communities improve. I call it the urban planner's best friend because there's a lot of data in here that used to take hours of online searching to find that you can find in just a couple of clicks. And with that data or with that information, you can then go to a community meeting. You can look at issues that we have, challenges that we have in this community, and some of the ways that we might be able to improve on those challenges. And I've even done this in my own community, where I've used the index to look at some of the challenges that were there and brought that to community meetings. And I encourage everyone else to educate themselves on what their community challenges might be. And by the way, for local officials that are trying to find a way to talk to people about their communities, this creates a great way that you can look at the things that AARP has highlighted as you're working to make your communities better.
How long has AARP been collecting this research? Do you have decades of history that you can pull back on to see how improvement has happened over the years?
So we've been working on livable communities for over a decade, but the index itself, we launched it first in 2015 after several years of putting this together. And the idea is that now you can measure progress from 2015 to today, the index. We want to not only tell you what's going on now, but tell you how your community is progressing to your very point. We'd like to get that measuring stick over time. So it was a great task to get all this data together. But moving forward, we'd like people to be able to see kind of where we're going and what we can still improve on in our community.
And has the index changed a bit over the years, not in terms of results, but in terms of what you've included for measurements?
Well, the one measurement change we've made, we've held it pretty constant because we want to be able to see some change over time there. The one change we made this year was adding accessory dwelling unit policies. And this has been a great option that's become more popular in recent years. And the idea is that these are building in-law suites, backyard cottages, an extra apartment on the property in a way that allows you a lot of flexibility, whether you need caregiving for a parent or other relative, or whether you want to rent it out, or maybe your house isn't designed for you, but you can design one of these units with universal design features that you can navigate well. It just creates so much flexibility that we wanted to have some representation of that in the index. So we've added those policies this year as a way communities can improve as well.
So the she shed has officially made it to the index then. That's what you're saying. What is the benefit of having that measured?
Well, the benefit is it draws attention to this as an option because many communities have long-standing challenges. For various reasons, communities adopted zoning over the years that excluded certain people from communities, excluded certain options for communities. And this is one of the ways that we can use zoning laws to bring more power back to homeowners, to give them the ability to create choices for themselves and for other community members. And so it's just a great policy that brings more livability into existing communities. And so we didn't want to leave it out.
Excellent. Thank you. I understand that AARP has been collaborating with the National Association of Realtors. Could you tell us a little bit about that collaboration?
That's right. I mentioned a little while ago that we've redesigned the index from top to bottom to make that information easier to access. And part of the reason for that is this relationship with the National Association of Realtors that I'm very proud of, where a realtor can now help you by looking at the information you might traditionally expect from a realtor and giving that to you in addition to the livability index scores for each neighborhood that you're looking at. And the idea is that we're now bringing you more information with just a couple of seconds of a glance at the report. You can now see how this neighborhood stacks up to others in housing and transportation and engagement and other categories of the index. And so it gives you a little preview of how well will that community work for me if my needs change over time.
That's really great. So it's also like empowering to homeowners then as they're getting more insights into the places that they're considering moving their family to, which is a big decision.
They're huge decisions. And frankly, part of my research has shown that people don't make these decisions with all the information they need.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to envision how your life might change if your spouse passes, if you can no longer drive, if your income drops. These are things that we don't do a great job of anticipating. So the idea of the index is we'll do that thinking ahead for you so you don't have to worry about it. It's right there in front of you what those options are and how well they are. And so that makes it easier for you to make the decisions that will benefit you in the long run.
Fantastic. I am sure that there are people listening right now who are going to want to know a little bit more insight into their neighborhood. So where can we find out more about the index and maybe even dig into some of the data?
Absolutely. You can look up the score for your neighborhood or community at www.aarp.org/livabilityindex.
Fantastic. Rodney, thank you so much. I don't have any further questions, but I do like to just check. Is there anything that you wanted to cover that you didn't get a chance to yet?
I think we covered all the high points.
Excellent.
Great.
I agree. I think it was very informative, and I'm very appreciative of your time today.
Thank you so much.
And that concludes another edition of Community Matters. Thank you once again for hanging with us today. And of course, if you'd like to hear audio from any of these interviews again, you can do so right on our website, WPER.org. Have a great day.